that are here, to you that are online with us at home or maybe in a coffee shop or somewhere this morning, Merry Christmas to you, and it's good to be with you this morning. I love this backdrop behind me. What do you think? I mean, it's pretty nice, right? I'm so thankful for the ladies that were kind enough to put this together, and Kelly for letting us borrow this wonderful scene here. And when I see all of this, and I so want to sit down, and I just want to like preach sitting with my feet up this morning, but I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to give in to the temptation. I'll stand. And when I see all of this, you know, it makes me think of family. What about you? It makes me think of home. You know, having your family around you, having maybe some grandparents, some cousins, aunts, uncles, and probably maybe that kind of weird one that, you know, comes every year. You know, I don't know, but I really like it, and it feels good, doesn't it? You look at it, it kind of makes you want to, like, smile. This year has been, at least it seemed, like anything but wanting to make you smile. So much of it has felt disheartening, disappointing, discouraging. What other D-I-S word can we put on, right, kind of thing on the front of that? And I miss my church family that I haven't been able to see. You guys are family. And I know that we miss one another. And when we see these wonderful decorations, it kind of reminds us that we're separated. Does that hit home with you this season? Kind of hit you right here a little bit, maybe? It does me. And I think with the reality of that, this is a perfect day to be reminded of who really it is that we're celebrating this Christmas season. And I want to say to you, because maybe I'm talking right to you, that wherever you're at, that what you feel today, it may not feel like the Christmas spirit, but it doesn't have to rule your life. It doesn't have to rule your heart. It doesn't have to rule your home. And I'm going to tell you why. But to do that, will you take a journey with me? I need to go back to Isaiah chapter 9. And I want to go to verse 6. And I'm going to read that in a moment. But before I do that, I want to introduce this guy named Isaiah. You know, if you haven't heard, and the book of Isaiah was, for the most part, let's just say, written by the prophet Isaiah. And Isaiah was a guy that God had called to be his prophet. You know what a prophet is? It's a spokesperson for God. And he said he called him to be his prophet, spokesperson, about 730 years before Jesus was born. So before the first Christmas, 730 years, God had called Isaiah to be his spokesperson to the nation of Judah, which Judah happens to be where Jerusalem is at. Well, at the time, Judah had been a nation whose culture and their values had really become perverted. They were supposed to be living by this covenant that God had given to the people through Moses, if we think back to that, right, in Exodus. But they weren't doing that well at all, and they were struggling. They weren't living with God at the center of their community. It makes a difference when God lives at the center of the heartbeat of a community. And they were experiencing what happens when that's not the reality. It was a rough season. And so God, he's a just God, and he's a God of righteousness. And so God chose to judge Judah, to discipline them for their sin over the years. And to do that, he used the Assyrian Empire, used their army to come in and to sort of enact and carry out that judgment against Judah. And it happened about 30 years after Isaiah had been warning them. How patient is God that for 30 years, He waited and he waited and he saw it and he was forbearing and he waited. It would happen again about 100 years later when the Babylonians would come and would destroy Jerusalem, the capital of Judah. It was a dark season. It was discouraging. It was despairing. It was hard. It was really a challenging season for the people in Judah. And Isaiah is trying to get their attention. And when you read, he sounds like this gloom and doom, you know, like turn or burn, man, kind of thing. And you think, man, that's all he's doing. Like, this is a hardcore guy. And yeah, but no, because there is also good news that he gives. A reason to have hope. And that takes us to Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. And I want to read that verse this morning, because if you've noticed so far, you may have caught it, that this is our verse for Advent this year. As we think about Jesus being a world changer. Here it is. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. He wrote, "A child is born to us, a son is given to us, and authority will be on his shoulders." In other words, the reign of the kingdom will be his. "He will be named Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace." I love it. So last week, if you were with us, we were into talking about Jesus as, or this ruler, we believe to be Jesus Christ, being the Wonderful Counselor. And today, we say, guess who he is? He's a mighty God. I love the image that comes with this. And I want you to think about this for a second. Because when we think about Christmas, we think about what? Think about a baby, don't we? We think about an infant. We think about a child, helpless, has to be fed, has to have his diapers changed. Is that bringing back any crazy memories for you right now? Huh? But so helpless, needing someone to stand in and to help them to survive and thrive. And yet, that's not the image that Isaiah is pointing us to when he talks about a child is born, is given to us. He calls him a mighty God. You think, well, yeah, I just know he's a mighty God anyways. But you got to think about the image of this, what this means. This foretelling of this good ruler is a person who's going to lead them and is going to fight for them as a divine warrior. It's going to be an unconquerable ruler who wins his battles because God is winning through him. Isn't that a drastically different picture than a child lying in a manger? But that very child in a manger was still fully God, but also fully human. It's the beauty of our Christian faith. The mystery that we can't quite fully wrap our brain around how that could be both at the same time. And yet that's exactly who he is. He would fight for justice. He would fight for righteousness. He would change their world. He would be their world changer. And that one promise was meant to be a message of hope for what lied ahead of them. As I said earlier, if you were with us last week, then we said, who is that person? That person is Jesus Christ. That person is the Son of God. The anointed one who was begotten of God, born of a virgin Mary and of Joseph in Bethlehem in such a humble situation, the very one who was announced to the shepherds out in the fields, the very one whom the angels rejoiced, announcing his arrival into the world. And this child was born to be our mighty God, our divine warrior. He came to earth to be our hero who would destroy the works of the devil. You think, wait a minute, you went from Christmas and a baby to a warrior and to war and battle and the devil all in like two sentences. Only a preacher would do that. Well, yeah, why? Because that's the heart of the good news. That's the heart of what we're really celebrating at Christmas, that the mighty God, the unconquerable ruler who would destroy the devil's works, has come into the world and has made possible what we could not do on our own. Merry Christmas. Oh, I think King David was right on the money in the psalm that he wrote, Psalm 24, verse 8, when it says, "Who is the King of glory? The Lord, strong and mighty. The Lord, mighty in battle." I love that. And you know what? I think if there has ever been a season in my recent memory that we have needed the image of a mighty God who can overcome injustice, who can overcome brokenness and evil in the world, overcome sin. I think it's a season we've been going through this year. I'm like, if we need that image of a Christ child who's a mighty God, it feels like today's the day, you know, like it's on us. It's been on us for quite a while. And maybe that resonates with you in a personal way. Maybe it feels like I'm talking right to you. So let me ask you. Do you feel like when you look at your life today that just feels cruddy? That when you look at where you're at, you go, you know what? My life is just a mess. I'm just disappointed where life is at right now. My circumstances, they're not what I want them to be. I had hoped that life would have gone back to some kind of normal by now, but it hasn't. And so I don't know what my future is going to hold. Maybe it's with your job. Maybe it's with your finances. Maybe it's with the family members. And to be honest, why not be honest, right? To be honest, maybe when we look at our life circumstances and we're very frustrated, we're disappointed, we're very discouraged, maybe there's room to say that part of it has to do with our life choices. You know, there are choices that we make in life, and like all choices, they have consequences. And sometimes when those choices are so severe, those consequences of that can stick around for quite a while. And it feels like, you know what, God has just left me high and dry. He don't really care. It's like, no, he does. But you've made some choices that are going to play out over a long season. And so you're going to have to be patient with that. But God is going to be right there with you. Maybe you have this nagging sense of shame because you've believed a lie that says that you're not going to amount to much more or any more than where you're already at in life. And that if you were better, that God would love you more. That if you were smarter, you could better handle all of the issues that you're going through in your life today. That you'll never really be any better than where you are right now. And you've heard that lie so many times, that false narrative in your head, that you're kind of believing that's the case. I guess it's not going to get any better than what it is today. Because apparently, I'm not worth any more than this. And that's simply not true. That pessimism has kept you from stepping up and stepping out by faith into a new beginning, a new chapter that only will happen when you walk by faith and not by just looking at what you see in front of you and what you keep hearing told over and over in your head or what you may be hearing from other people around you. You may be looking at this year and you feel like God is fighting for some people, but you know what? It doesn't seem like he's been fighting for me a whole lot. Some people have some really great stories, but where's my great story? Some people are thriving. Why am I not thriving? Some people are not even getting sick at all. Why did I get sick? Where is God in the midst of all of this? When's he going to fight for me? Because by George, it's about time. I've waited and been faithful and patient long enough. You ever tell yourself that? If you're struggling with any of this stuff this Advent season, I can promise you that you're not alone. You're not. And I bet the people that you would probably look up to and go, well, they must be pretty strong, you know, and they're amazing. They're just rocking it with faith and they're not having any struggles. I bet if you talked to them, you'd hear a different story. It just looks like they're winning and you're not. You may feel lonely and it may look dark and it may seem that the only thing you have to hold on to is just discouragement and a pessimistic attitude and being negative and just cursing politics and just being so hateful about what's happening and da-da-da-da-da-da-da, and give in to all of the angst and all of the sin and all of the hatred and all of the anger, all of the evil that's there, and just let it rise up because it's the easy way to go, and yet it's the worst way to go. Can I tell you that Jesus Christ came to earth to be a mighty God so that you would have victory over those and you wouldn't have to be overcome by them? You have victory over that craziness. And it only comes through faith in Jesus Christ. Just because you feel defeated, it doesn't mean you are. Feelings are hardly ever the full truth. And it doesn't mean the Lord has quit on you and the Lord can't handle what concerns you because he's got bigger fish to fry. No, he's a divine warrior. He is a warrior who never meets an enemy, never meets a darkness, never meets a chaos, an evil, a separation, a suffering, a brokenness, an enemy that he cannot overcome. And so here's the thing with this Christmas season. We're talking about experiencing the world changer. I need you to believe that. I need you to believe this about God. That our victory comes through faith in Jesus, not our works, not our willpower, not our good thoughts. It comes through faith in Jesus Christ. There's a reason that he is the hope of the world. Because he is the hero who has overcome the world. And he is our God. I need you to believe that Jesus is a mighty God. I need you to believe that he took on flesh and was born in a manger to rescue you in sin and to conquer death for you so that you could have peace with God. In fact, Romans 5:1 says this is the case. Since we are justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. I need you to believe that he took on the devil and won so the devil would not have authority over your life any longer. 1 John 3:8 says the Son of God was revealed for this purpose. What is it? To destroy the works of the devil. I need you to believe that he was resurrected from the dead. Wait a minute, now you're talking Easter. You're getting your holidays mixed up. No. Without Easter, Christmas doesn't mean anything. Because Jesus Christ came, what? To destroy the works of the devil, which he did through the crucifixion and the resurrection. So, hallelujah, right? You need Christmas and Easter together. This is the good news. So it's okay that at Christmas we can talk about the baby Jesus and we can talk about the enemy. Why? Because he came to defeat the enemy. We need to recognize that is true. That is his purpose. Romans 8:1, there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. What does that mean? He conquered the enemy so that you would not have to feel shamed into believing that God does not love you and that you don't have hope for eternal life. No, by Christ's righteousness, you are accepted before God. By his stripes, you are healed. You are welcome before God. There is no reason on this earth that you need to feel shameful, that you're not accepted or worthy to God, because you have salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. There's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. You are forgiven and set free. You are reborn. You are a new creation. Merry Christmas. I mean, this is good. I need you to believe that there is no force or power that will overcome the victory Jesus has for all who call upon his name in faith. For God so loved the world that he gave his one only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish but have everlasting life. I love it. John 16:33, Jesus said, "Take heart, I've overcome the world." In this world, you're going to have trouble. For trouble, put COVID-19. In this world, I know you will struggle with COVID-19, but take heart, I have overcome COVID-19. You say, what? In this world, you will struggle with financial pressures. But take heart, I have overcome all the financial pressures of the world. Why? Because I'm not a God who is constrained by time, nor space, nor finance, nor government. Why? Because I'm the Lord and the creator of the heavens and the earth. And I've already set into place the victory and the freedom that is yours to be experienced because of Jesus Christ, my Son. But you must believe. Your world can be changed, but it comes through faith in the one who said, I've come to overcome the world. And the victory is yours. Appropriate that victory into your life. Own it. Walk in it. Wake up in it. Well, that's a new one. I like that. Wake up in it and walk in it. Ooh, that'll work. Let's put that on a card or something. I think we could do that. And don't worry about it. Oh, it got even better. Wake up in it, walk in it, and just don't worry about it. Somebody, please put that on a card. Do something with that. I like that. That'll work. We need to hold on to that one. I think the Apostle Paul, maybe he said it as good as anybody, that we are more than conquerors through Christ who loves us. And the Apostle John wrote it this way in 1 John chapter 5. I want to read this. For whatever is born of God conquers the world. And this is the victory that conquers the world. Our faith. Who is it that conquers the world? But the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God. I say these things to you today like John wrote them, so that you may know that you have eternal life through him, Jesus, the Christ, who is our mighty God. Life is hard. Can I get anybody that agrees with that statement that life is challenging? What about you at home? Has it been tough and challenging? I'm guessing probably. Did you want to throw in the towel? Yeah. Were you done with it? Said, I just want to quit. Just go home. Yeah. Absolutely. Life is hard. Life is challenging. and it challenges our faith. Let us not share the gospel and encourage people to trust in Jesus by telling them that when they do, everything will be okay. Because that is not the truth. It will be okay for eternity, but it does not mean that life will be okay just here right now. Life is hard. It is challenging. I know it's like a broken record. But God is a mighty divine hero who overcomes the things that stand against us in this life. It's going to be hard. But that's what makes the beauty of the gospel so important today and every single day. That when you're going through that which stands against you, when that which stresses you, when that which seems like just wants to like smack you one time after another, that you know that when you face that, for example, when Christmas comes and we can't be around our family or maybe our grandkids or our cousins or aunts and uncles quite like we want to, and we go, this is not the Christmas I want. My Thanksgiving was not the Thanksgiving that I wanted, but it was the Thanksgiving I had. It was still good. I have a family around me. Can't complain about that. But there's something about the holidays that's about bigger family. And didn't get to have that. And that broke my heart. I don't know about you. Maybe yours was a struggle. Maybe it wasn't what you had hoped. Maybe Christmas isn't going to be exactly the way that you want it. And it kind of feels like it leaves a little hole right here. Or a little darkness, a little dark cloud hanging over, you know? Well, church, I want to invite you to look at that. Look at it. Don't run from it. Don't ignore it. Don't pretend it doesn't exist. Don't fake it till you make it. Just look at it and label it. What is it? I feel this because this is not the way I want it to be. Don't run from how you feel in your brokenness and your hurt. That's one of the worst things that we can do as human beings. But instead, to be honest and say, God, by your strength, you are a mighty God. Be that unconquerable ruler in my life who knows what I stand and face in front of me that I can't change. And would you make a way by your mighty hand that I can walk through that with you? Together we'll go through this. And my Christmas may not be what I'd hoped it would be, but God, would you remind me, you're everything I need. And so at the heart of it, this Christmas is no different than any other year. Because you are my mighty God. And though I can't win these battles that I'm facing in life right now because of our circumstances, that you already are a winner. And you're enough for me. And so, Lord, help me to have peace in that truth. And help me to hold on to knowing who you are. And may that knowledge give me peace. You might find yourself saying, Lord, I believe, but help me in my unbelief. May you grow my faith. It's fitting for us today, again, that we would share in communion. And I believe we're going to share in communion for this entire Advent season. That as we come together and we think about who Christ is, being our mighty God, that he would strengthen our faith on this day. That we might stand by the strength of his grace and not of our own strength. When I think of communion, can't help but go back to the night Jesus was with his disciples at Passover, and he took bread, gathered around them, and he broke that bread, and he blessed it, and he said, take and eat, for this is my body, which is given up for you. And when supper was ended, he took the cup. Again, he blessed it, and he He handed it to his disciples and he said, "Take and drink, for this cup is a cup of the new covenant in my blood, shed for the sins of all. Eat this bread and drink this cup in remembrance of me." So today we share in these elements, remembering that Christ took on flesh and was born so that he could be a divine hero who would conquer sin and death for our freedom and life. To his name belong all praise and glory and honor. Father, may you bless these elements by your Spirit, that as we receive of them, that your grace would continue to grow us, strengthen our resolve, lift us up and encourage us. May you bless us, I pray. Amen. We have come into this space today, a holy space, not because of the building, but because of the Spirit of God. And we have prayed, we have sang, we've heard God speak to us through His Word, we've responded to God and His love through communion this morning, and now it is time for us to go. To be sent out into the world. To be the body of Christ. Serving a wonderful counselor. A mighty God. An everlasting Father. And a Prince of Peace. Let us go forth from this place to serve Him. To grow His kingdom. To be a part of this community that we love so much. For the glory of God. Amen.